Before Padre Pio became famous throughout the world, a young teacher met him and immediately sensed something extraordinary. Decades later, she shared the memories you're about to hear. Stay tuned. Ave mundis pes Maria. Welcome to Following Padre Pio. We're grateful to all those who quietly helped this apostolate continue reaching souls through Padre Pio's spiritual legacy. Today's story may touch your heart in ways you do not expect. Today's story comes from the book Amazing Miracles of Padre Pio and the Stories Behind Them by Frank M. Riga. And today we're going to meet Nina Campanile, a school teacher from San Giovanni Rotondo who became one of Padre Pio's earliest spiritual daughters. As you can imagine, she witnessed many graces and moments that left a deep mark on her life. But perhaps even more importantly, she received invaluable spiritual guidance from him. So let's hear what she had to share. The author tells us, Nina Campanile was one of the first spiritual daughters of Padre Pio. She was a primary school teacher in San Giovanni Rotondo. They first met on October 5th, 1916, only 1 month after he had been assigned to the convent at San Giovanni. Although he had just arrived, and the stigmata would not appear for another 2 years, his reputation of holiness was already spreading throughout the region. This is how they met. During the First World War, Nina's younger brother had been killed at the front. Like so many mothers who have lost a child, Nina's mother was worried about his eternal fate, so she asked her daughter to visit the holy monk to ask if he was saved. When Nina climbed to the convent and asked Padre Pio, his reply was this: "If the mercy of God depended on what you think, all men would be in hell. He is saved, yes, and in need of prayers." In her diary, Nina wrote that her first impression of him was that he was entirely a supernatural being with a halo around his head. She recalled, "He penetrated the depths of my soul without my having spoken, such that I felt ashamed to be in his presence, and I did not dare to raise my eyes to look at him." Many people who met Padre Pio spoke of this same experience, not of being condemned, but of being completely known before God. From that moment on, she found it difficult to refrain away from him. What began as a single meeting soon became a pattern of encounters. Through personal meetings and letters, Padre Pio became her spiritual director. In fact, he later told her that from the very beginning, he understood that the Lord had entrusted her to him, and that much work would be needed to form her soul. Many people long for that kind of spiritual guidance and companionship, the reassurance that someone is helping them grow closer to God. Twice a week, on Thursdays and Sundays, and often on other days as well, Nina would come to see Padre Pio, along with some of her teacher colleagues and other spiritual daughters. These meetings took place in the guest room of the convent, in an informal, friendly atmosphere. Padre Pio would speak about the gospel, teach the path of perfection, and patiently answer their questions, clarifying doubts with paternal gentleness. He once told Nina that his intention was to form a few good souls, so that they, in turn, would become seeds sown in the midst of the people. He wasn't interested in gathering admirers. He wanted to form disciples, ordinary people whose faith would influence those around them. When speaking with them individually, he was not only concerned with their spiritual growth, but also with their personal lives, asking about their families as though they were his own. If someone were sick, he would even advise them on what steps to take. Nina notes that there were 12 women in this group. Padre Pio once said to them, "Here is not a question of personal acceptance. Souls are attracted as the Lord disposes." Padre Pio believed that holiness was built on ordinary faithfulness. He continually returned his spiritual children to 5 simple practices: weekly confession, daily communion, spiritual reading, meditation, and nightly examination of conscience. Above all, he insisted they not neglect daily communion, unless they were conscious of mortal sin. To calm their fears and scruples, he patiently listened to their doubts, reminding them that they should only refrain from Holy Communion if they were certain they had gravely sinned. Following the example of these 12 women, daily communion soon spread throughout San Giovanni Rotondo. Nina wrote that God was present in him in a supernatural way, like natural things are present in us. And she recorded several events that confirmed this. On one occasion, during her first year under his guidance, her mother fell seriously ill with a very high fever. Doctors diagnosed double pneumonia, and the family was deeply worried. When Nina met Padre Pio, he asked how her mother was doing. She told him that the doctors were prescribing certain treatments for the pneumonia, including blood-sucking leeches. Padre Pio exclaimed that it was not pneumonia at all, but a severe case of malaria. Soon afterward, the diagnosis confirmed exactly what he had said. Another example. Nina's nephew was a medic serving on a hospital ship, and one day she heard that the ship had been bombed. Frightened, she went straight to Padre Pio to ask about him. He replied without hesitation, "Be calm, he was in port and not on the ship." Later, it was confirmed that this was exactly the case. Nina reflected that such knowledge could not have come through natural means, since she had asked him immediately after hearing the news. She also wrote that the turbulent times in which we live require a divinized being on earth to give example, comfort, and strength, so that even if the body is lost, the soul will not be. The life of Padre Pio, she wrote, is like that of the Divine Master, one of total sacrifice. He eats little, sleeps even less, and lives in constant prayer, work, and suffering. Forgetting himself completely, his life is dedicated to the salvation of souls. And he once said, "If you do good to those who deserve it, what merit is there? It is necessary to know how to treat both the good and the bad, in order to draw out the best in each." And with that, we conclude today's story. Thank you for spending this time with us today. If this story touched your heart, please subscribe and continue journeying with us through the spiritual legacy of Padre Pio. And if you feel called to become part of our prayer family as a protected child of Padre Pio, you'll find the link below. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you.